cared for those in need. There should not be anyone in the church in need. We've all got enough to meet each other's needs. And that was the idea of having things in common. They didn't hang on to stuff as their own. They shared as a manifestation of fellowship. So that's number 7, care for those in need. Number 8, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And then verse 47, praising God. That sounds pretty much like worship to me. They met every day in the temple courts, praising God. And why did they praise God? It's they had glad and sincere hearts. It was a spontaneous overflow of the joy that they felt as Christ followers. They were so thankful. They were so privileged, and they recognized the privilege that was theirs to be part of this God's new community, the church. And as part of that, they met together in the temple courts, and they worshipped from glad and sincere hearts. Right, that's number 8. Number 9, verse 47, they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Isn't that a funny thing? They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And I didn't know what to call this, and the best I could come up with was the church had street credibility. Okay? Because so if you can think of anything better, fine. I could not think of anything better than that. But you know what it means? People outside the church had respect for them. They looked up to them. They were kind of slightly in awe of them. And yet they thought they were good people. They were held in high regard by people outside. And the amazing thing is, you know this, the reason that people outside the church had such a high opinion of people in the church is not because the people in the church tried to hide their Christianity just to kind of get along with people outside. It was quite the opposite. They lived it out loud. They weren't, they weren't obnoxious people, but they were passionate and compassionate. They were passionate about God, passionate about reaching people outside of the church, passionate about sharing with people in the church, passionate about serving, passionate about all these other things, the apostolic teaching and all the rest of it. They were passionate. They lived their Christian life out loud, and people respected them for it. And I spent a couple of minutes, no, not a couple of minutes, quite a long time actually, going over my life, the last decades of it, and trying to think of situations in which that has been true. And I have found, and I'm sure some of you will echo this, that when you've been most conspicuous as a Christian, people have respected you the most. They may not have agreed with you, but they have actually respected you. You know, and maybe come to ask your opinion about something because they know you're a Christian or something. Let's not be afraid to live our Christianity out loud. That's what they did. And people respected them for it. It was not like, oh, well, they're just the same as us, aren't they? It was like they are passionate about Jesus Christ and they're living out their faith, and it's such an amazing thing. See how they love each other, how they care for each other, how devoted they are to each other, to praying, to hearing what the apostles are teaching, to remembering the Lord's death. See how they care for their needy ones. See all of these things. And the people had great regard for them. I think that is an amazing thing, isn't it? Let's not be afraid as a church to live our faith out loud. Let's not be afraid as individual Christians. Just to, you know, don't be afraid to open your Bible in the office. You know, don't be afraid of that. Don't be ashamed of that. Or at school or something. Don't be ashamed. People will respect you for it. Take my word for it. They did, the early church. So where are we? That was number 9. And finally, number 10. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was growth. And the growth was primarily through people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, undergoing that process. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, the process of conversion. Great old-fashioned word, but it's a great truth, and we cannot lose that. It's the transformation. It's the turning from sin. It's the change of our mind, the whole direction of our lives. It's experiencing the forgiveness of our sins and the Holy Spirit coming and living within us, changing our direction, changing our priorities. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And every church that is worthy of the name of church has got to grow by people being converted. And I'm so thankful when I look around here. We've been in the church now for 10 years, and there are loads of people that we have seen converted in this church in that 10-year period. And that is what the church is supposed to be like. It doesn't mean that you can't come from other churches. You know, we did that. You know, it's okay. But there's got to be somewhere in the church, growth by conversion. People coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Growth is God's purpose. Stagnation, shrinkage, withering, that is not in God's program at all. And that applies to you as a Christian and to me as a Christian. He wants us to grow. Grow in our love, grow in our faith, grow in our knowledge, grow in our understanding, to move on from the baby stuff to this big stuff, the strong stuff, to be strong Christians who are not afraid to take a stand for Christ, to share our faith, to live out loud for Him. He wants us to grow and mature as Christians, because that is what He is doing. He wants to transform us into the image of His Son. He wants us to be as like Jesus Christ as is possible for us to be. He wants us to grow. So that's the 10th mark of the early church, which I think is transferable to the present day, to our own church situation, to our own lives, growth. So I hope you've got all of these things, and I hope you found that perhaps something that was a wee bit encouraging and challenging. Let me just give you the 10 marks of the true church and of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Devotion to apostolic teaching, to fellowship, to remembering the Lord's death, to prayer. And then these other things that go along with that. Reverence. God is in our midst. Supernatural power at work, transforming. Care for those in need, worship, street credibility, and growth. Isn't the day of Pentecost exciting? That's why we've been looking at it. This is the church. Yeah, I know it's a baby church, but it is the real church. And there's so much that is transferable to us. Let me just tie the whole of this Pentecost thing up with this concluding paragraph. I had to write it down just to make sure I got it absolutely right, so I'm going to read it for you. We live after Pentecost. All agreed? We live after Pentecost. So we have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers and equips us to be Christ's witnesses. Let us therefore boldly witness to His death, resurrection, and exaltation as the complete and only Savior of sinners. Let us all serve using the gifts that God has given us by His Spirit to build up the church. Let us be addicted to the teaching of God's Word, to fellowship, to remembering the Lord's death, to prayer. And let us look forward to that day when Christ will come in great power and great glory and reward His faithful servants.